Well, good morning. We certainly have a full house for our first oral argument of... Let's see. Our order here. Our first case on the agenda, State versus Wright. Counsel, are you... Please do.
Good morning, Justices. My name is Dave Perlman, and I represent the state of Wisconsin, the petitioner in this action.
Do I understand, Mr. Perlman, that this might be... Make more.
Depends how this one turns out, Your Honor.
Okay. I think I fed you that line.
Worked on it yesterday. It's good.
And you should know him well enough to know he would pick it up.
Yes, this is my last argument. Thank you. I would be remiss, though, to not also mention that my worthy opponent, Ms. Cusack, this is her first argument in front of me. I say that not out of any contrived chivalry, but it's a practical thing. I want to remind this court that she will have many, many more...
Oh, my gosh.
The state asked this court to review this case because the trial court held and the Court of Appeals affirmed that a police officer cannot ask a stopped motorist about weapons unless the officer has reasonable suspicion that the person is armed or dangerous. In the state's opinion, this holding and this affirmance is in direct conflict with this court's ruling just a year and a half ago in State v. Floyd, in direct conflict with the spirit of Pennsylvania versus Mims and Maryland v. Wilson, all of these cases rooted in the principle clearly and famously articulated in Mims. We think it too plain for argument that the state's interest in officer safety is both legitimate and weighty.
Mr. Perlman, how does the inquiry into whether or not the driver has a CCW permit relate to officer safety?
Well, Justice Bradley, I think that's a fair question, but the record shows he asked two questions in rapid fire. Do you have a CCW permit, and do you have a weapon? I would agree that if he was to approach a driver and only ask if you have a CCW permit, that would be a curious inquiry, because the answer would establish nothing. Mr. Perlman, do you have a CCW permit? Yes, I do. Well, I have a fishing license. Isn't that nice? Mr. Perlman, do you have a CCW permit? No, I do not. I don't have one. But when you combine it with the gun, the question about the gun, then the CCW permit question is tethered.
When, if it were by itself, however, you appear to be saying that it is unrelated to the mission, if it were the...
I'm saying, first and foremost, it has no practical application to ask the question by that it would be useful to the police officer.
Irrelevant?
Unuseful?
It's irrelevant to officer safety.
Without a weapon, a person's having or not having a permit is irrelevant to officer safety at that time. Without the discovery of a weapon, without any knowledge this person ever has a weapon, it is an odd inquiry. I would submit it never occurs. It did not occur here.
Why is it relevant if they have a weapon? What is the link between actually owning a permit and officer safety?
Because of the way it plays out. Officer arrives. In this particular case, we don't have to guess. We can... Effective headlamp. It happens. Usually we're grateful because sometimes we're not aware that it's there. He approaches him. He says, do you have a CCW permit and do you have a gun? I have a gun. It's in a concealed area. The officer now sees a person with a concealed weapon. by statute, any time he's acting in his lawful authority, and I will argue that asking about a gun during a traffic stop is part of the traffic stop, and therefore, at that point, under our statute, he can ask at finding a concealed weapon if he has a permit. He so asks. The answer is not quite perfect. It's, I just finished a course, strongly suggesting that he has every effort to get a permit but may not have one now. The statute also says that every time a person carries a concealed weapon, they must have a permit. So it's not kind of a fishing expedition. It's a regulatory requirement. You want to carry a concealed weapon in Wisconsin. There's no constitutional right to do so. You want to, you can. Go get your permit, and any time you carry a concealed weapon, have the permit right by. He asked about the gun lawfully, finds out he has a gun. He sees the gun in a concealed area. Hard to imagine that once you see a gun concealed, you're not going to ask the person if he has a permit when you're statutorily allowed to so ask, and he's statutorily required.
But the statute can't override the Constitution, can it?
It cannot. And if it does, it gets struck down. But I don't think this one does. I think this is a regulation that makes perfect sense. Look at the price that a citizen is paying. He gets to carry a concealed weapon. The only price is a regulatory one. He has to go through the procedure. He has to keep the permit on him. We go through that with licenses all the time. That's not a big constitutional obligation. That's all the statute is really requiring. If an officer confronts a concealed weapon, he asks for the permit. Officer stops a motorist, he asks for a license. Officer stops a motor, asks for insurance. So I just don't see that that kind of statute is unconstitutional, that provision of statute. If it is, the whole scheme will fall apart. I think many, many citizens have taken advantage of our concealed carry weapon.
So by obtaining a permit, you're saying they basically are agreeing to be asked about whether they have it or not on them, regardless of what context that's in, what kind of stop that could be.
I'm not saying this is still the case, but it used to be the case, Justice, when they would apply, they would get the permit in a kind of a brochure. And one of the things is mentioned, and one of the statutory requirements, is any time you are utilizing the permit, i.e. carrying a weapon in a concealed area, must have the permit on you.
All right, so that's fine for the person that has the permit. Let's say this type of situation where the person doesn't have a permit and then the officer is engaging in, let's say they didn't ever say they had a permit. Is the officer then entitled to still search for one? Or they're based on the question first that's asked to the person whether they have one? And at what point, if any, does that extend the stop?
They can care if it right
now. Okay, probably going to have to answer your question. By
if that made sense.
Well, it made sense. I'm just trying to guarantee that my answer will as well. So I'm going to have to repeat kind of with a fact situation. You approach me, and again, I would submit that no police officer is going to inquiry. That's a kind of a crazy, unproductive inquiry. Do you have a gun? Do you have a CCW permit, as was done here? Yes, I do have a gun. It's concealed. I think the officer, both statutorily, reasonably, and the subject should be aware of this because the subject's supposed to have the permit because he's got a concealed weapon, ask for the permit. If he produces one, the statute says, then you can check its authenticity the same way we do. He doesn't produce one and claims he doesn't have one, well, now you have probable cause of CCW. In this particular case, it was a halfway measure. He didn't produce one, didn't actually say he had one, but said he was close to having one. But in any event, the officer is entitled to make this check as a regulatory requirement because this person has taken the privilege of carrying a concealed weapon.
How long does the check take?
Very short amount of time, Your Honor. I never timed it, but there is nothing in the record to suggest that this was a very long part of it. They contact the Department of Justice and get their information.
So is that that's an inquiry they can run on a computer in their car?
Yes.
So a few minutes, we're thinking?
I don't think a few minutes. I think quicker than that. I think this checking on their driver's license or criminal history, it's a very quick check. And it will say that he's got a permit or he does not.
So, counsel, the question about the permit on the concealed carry statute grounds or on constitutional grounds?
I think on both, Your Honor. Certainly, they kind of are lockstep with each other because, and it's never the intent of the legislature to pass a statute that's unconstitutional. And I think it's a regulatory requirement requirement for carrying a concealed weapon. I wasn't involved in the discussions that led to this rather major legislation, but one that was anecdotally apparently good advantage of. But basically, the check is designed to be pretty quick. The check is limited only when an officer is acting with his lawful authority capacity. For instance, I don't think an officer can go up to anybody in the So in that case, I think it's constitutional and statutorily required. Constitutional because it doesn't take very long. For that, you could look for cases like Arizona versus a Griffith case that says that very quick questions don't transform a legal stop to an illegal. Here it is tethered to the gun inquiry, which I believe this court, in my opinion, has already resolved.
So let's say the questions were asked in the morning. Then you have a permit.
Right.
If we were to analyze the statute as a standalone issue,
right.
When it says the officer may ask the person concealed, if that's a constitutional requirement, does that change at all if we lift it up and put it in the context of a traffic?
I think that's the core of this issue, and I would argue it does not. I think what you're saying is because of the Rodriguez somewhat limitations on traffic stops, and one that this court has, traffic stops cannot go longer than is necessary, does that restriction mean that in the instance of a traffic stop, an officer has less latitude to ask about a CCW permit than he would have other instances? That would just make no sense to me if that was true. An officer sees a anytime we do something that we are entitled to do, only if we do something else, evidence of that something else, to me, is not a big hurdle. So I think it would be a very, very odd opinion that right to somehow say officers can do this, but not within the traffic stop because they're blocked from doing it.
Does here the record, as I recall, inconclusive as to which of the two questions that are the focus of our inquiry.
That's correct.
How does that affect your analysis?
I don't think
vis-a-vis the statute, first of all.
I don't think it does. Perfect world. Mr. Wright, do you have a gun? Yes, it's in the glove box. Do you have a permit for it? Terrible world.
Yeah,
Mr. Wright,
the first rendition I have no problem with.
That's right. I said that's perfect world. Second, and you're correct, and in our moot court, we argued back and forth. Not clear in the record, because he's an I don't know if I said CCW first or gun first. I said them both, and I said them in rapid fire. I can't imagine we're going to parse the order to determine that if he had said gun CCW, it's okay, and if he had said CCW gun, it is not. He did it in combination. He was concerned about the gun. That was his concern, and then the permit becomes when you find it. So I don't think in this particular case, in these facts, the order would matter when it's done in such rapid-fire section. As a standalone, gun does beautifully under Floyd. As a standalone, permit is weird because nothing happens. I'm not saying it's necessarily unconstitutional. It's just serve any purpose. But I would not get hung up in the order when he did it. You get both issues are there in front of that person. And he responded to it. He didn't respond with the permit. He responded by showing him the gun. That was his initial response. He understood the question.
You seem to not be concerned with what might be an irrelevant question, CCW by itself. You don't seem to be concerned with expanding the scope. And wouldn't that irrelevant question that could lead to a criminal prosecution and conviction expand the scope of the mission of this traffic?
No, I wouldn't say I'm not concerned. I just don't think it raises a constitutional. Because the way I see it, an officer when he makes a traffic stop, and certainly every court, Supreme Court, State Court, Federal Court, has held repeatedly that traffic stops pose danger to officers. And when they go up to make a traffic stop and they ask about a gun and a CCW permit and they get the gun, looking up to see if he has a permit or not does not extend the traffic stop in any way that I think offends Rodriguez or anything else, and it's a state regulation that makes sense. I am not concerned when it's said in both gun, permit, permit, gun. I'm just not. I mean, I'm concerned much more, I think, as this court has said in Floyd, as Mims said, with something probably far more intrusive, get out of the car. As Marilyn B. Wilson said, even more intrusive yet, passenger, get out of the car. They're all saying the same thing. It's kind of a de minimis intrusion with a big payday. The big payday is officer safety. And when we balance those two, this kind of de minimis intrusion and asking about a permit or checking the permit after you see a gun concealed, if you cannot ask about a permit for a concealed weapon when you see a concealed weapon, when can you? And that gets to your point, Justice Kelly. You're saying we have to exclude the entire traffic matters if we're going to let Illinois rot.
Right. So Section 175.60 sub says that the law enforcement can ask for the permit if he's acting, the statute says, if he's acting in his official capacity and with lawful authority.
Correct.
All right. So he's got the uniform on and all of that. So he's clearly. What does it mean for him to additionally be acting with law? Does that incorporate the Fourth Amendment limitations?
I think it does. He's making a lawful stop. And in this case, he was making a lawful stop. And then I think, as the case, my argument is that the case law says he can, he asked about a gun. So there it is. Statute met. Person has a concealed weapon. Produce it, the permit. He couldn't. But even if he could, the statute allows you just to make a routine check like we do for licenses or insurance. So, Justice Bradley, I'm just a little troubled when you say that I'm unconcerned. I just
don't. I know you're concerned. Yeah.
Well, it's impactful. I don't think it's impactful.
Some of my colleagues might wonder what the limits are on what law enforcement can ask someone when they come up to a car. Are there any limits at all, or could they ask them, you have drugs in a car? Do you have, I mean, other things? Talk to me about what limits there are and whether or not any inquiry must be tethered to the original basis for the stop.
And that's always the question, Justice Ziegler, in Fourth Amendment cases. Essentially, where does one draw the line? The amendment's a little murky. I would put it this way. First of all, at the issue here before us with the guns, I believe we don't have to worry about where we draw the line. For this one, we can color within the lines with Floyd. You asked about drugs. Now, there is some interesting legal. I don't want to give away your future calendar, but there's a certification on that, so we could be coming to a theater near you. We've only seen the trailer. But with drugs, there's Arizona versus Johnson. There's our Griffith case that suggested very quick questions that might not have been. Don't prolong the stop. We have the Court of Appeals, State versus. But then you do have some language in Rodriguez that will have to be reconciled. That's not the case before us. Line drawing is always going to be an issue in any Fourth Amendment decision. But I feel here today, when we're talking about guns and the CCW permit, we're comfortably within lines already established.
How, if at all, would it impact officers? You know, the speed that they were driving, or they were limited to only inquiring about things that have to do with the origination of.
My answer to you is Charlie Hanger. That probably needs a little more clarification. Charlie Hanger was an Oklahoma cop, 1994, I believe it was. He was on duty on the day of the great bombing. Charlie Hanger was just doing routine traffic patrol, helping out with other FBI. He stopped the guy for expired tags on his car. He approached the driver. And in short order, he began to become aware that the guy might be armed. Famous dialogue between Hanger and the guy is, the guy said, I have a bulge in my arm, it's a gun and it's loaded. And Charlie answered, so is mine, and arrested him. But the bottom line is, Charlie Hanger had no idea what he had, even after he arrested him. Put him in jail, gave him a small bond. As it turned out, he couldn't post bond. The FBI narrowed it down, and that was to me a very serious matter. What I'm saying is, you just can't tell if it's going to be a tail lamp, if it's going to be an expired plates, it's going to be obvious, overt, dangerous type of behavior. Safety is there for every case. And therefore, I think the point of Floyd, and of course, it's tough to tell you what the point of Floyd is since you wrote Floyd, but the point of Floyd, I think, is it's endemic to every traffic stop. Safety is there with every traffic stop because it is a difficult situation for law enforcement. It is potentially dangerous. So it connects to the headlamp. Not obviously it's got no connection to a headlamp, but it's got connection to the stop.
So I understand the safety issue, and I think Floyd did address that. I think you admitted that there really isn't anything tying a CCW permit in and of itself to whether someone's safe with a gun or not with a gun.
So do you leave open the possibility that if, let's say, the computer's down
and it's going to take them 20 minutes to search in that particular situation? I mean,
are you linking this to Rodriguez in the sense that it's the time
that it takes to search for the permit? You can ask about the gun, but it's the search. To me, it's the search. Issue with that?
I think I would need more facts on that one because you can make the argument they had reasonable suspicion already, asked him for a permit. He didn't say he had one, he didn't produce. So they have reasonable suspicion probably at that moment. He's W, which would allow for the 20 minutes. But I think the purpose of your question was, let's say they didn't have that, and let's put an hypothetical form. You know, a word that's used all the time in all Supreme Court opinions is touchstone. You have to look at that 20, 25-minute wait for somebody who's got a gun and says he has a permit. Headlamp is the original foundation, and the machine is broke. I would argue we're moving it to unreasonable. They got the gun. They can control the gun. The permit, I would not recommend they do that. But in this particular case, I think they could because it was tethered to reasonable suspicion.
Well, if you saw a gun and it was concealed,
yes,
and there's a law that says that you can't carry a concealed weapon, if the officer is precluding from asking about the permit, what would the next action be that the law enforcement?
Well, I think that's a good point. I'm looking at it practically. How would that work? Mr. Perlman, the reason I stopped you, bed headlamp. Yeah, I know, I'm going to fix it. Mr. Perlman, do you have a gun? Yes, I do. Where is it? It's right there. Concealed. Okay.
You're under arrest, perhaps?
Thank you. You might be committing CCW, you might not, but I can't look because Rodriguez says I can't. Crazy. Doesn't work, in my opinion.
But isn't the point of asking about the weapon for the officer's safety, the next question may be, do you mind if I hang on to the gun? Let's say the driver says, sure, and the officer has possession of the gun. So safety is ensured, hopefully, at that point. So what difference does it make? And this is where I'm struggling to tie the question about the officer safety under that scenario.
Well, I think, yes. Let me put it to you differently to kind of work with your question a little bit. You stop me. Mr. Perlman, do you have a gun? And I could say no. And no is no. Floyd tells us, follow-up question. Mr. Perlman, you might pat you down? No. Then the officer at that point is going to have to take other maneuvers. Sometimes they'll say, Pennsylvania versus Mims to get him out of the car. What you're saying is with the weapon, what you can do is neutralize the weapon. Therefore, don't go fishing around looking for CCW permit because you're safe because you neutralized the weapon. But to me, then, you're ignoring a complete statute that says that he is responsible. That's just the way it is. And if he doesn't have a permit, he's committing CCW. You're not really, you put it one way, he's fishing for CCW. What he's fishing for is just compliance with our regulations and rules. When we ask for a driver's license, they're not really fishing for no valid driver's license. Are complying with the regulations and the rules. So that's why they do it. I know it's difficult to tether, and you could make it, I'm not going to make an argument, involved in having a CCW permit and not having one because there is a requirement, a little safety requirement to prove you have some experience with a gun and it proves if you're law-abiding or not. But I'm not going to even go there because I think that's not as nearly like having. But you ask for the gun. At that point, you see it's concealed. You can't stop. You stop the inquiry there, and we might as well. You can carry a gun. Anybody can carry a gun in a car anywhere he wants. Violate CCW. They can't check because Rodriguez says he can't.
Well, in theory, couldn't they check later as they get back to the car? Issue a summons if he's got a violation? It's a statutory violation potentially. Or?
For licenses, insurance, we check for warrants. I just don't see how that really helps. It adds much of a constitutional dimension. This does not take long, as Your Honor asked earlier. It's a quick check. It's very routine. It wasn't listed in the Rodriguez routines because it probably wasn't contemplated by them, but they listed these ministerial duties. I would argue that this is just another one. You have a statute. You can carry a concealed weapon. Again, in this case, if you're troubled by that, it's clear that his answer suggest he didn't have a permit, so he's got a reasonable suspicion of CCW. Justify the extension in that way.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
May it please the court. I'm Assistant State Public Defender Carly Cusack, and I represent Mr. John Patrick Wright. Today I am asking this court to affirm the decisions of the Circuit Court and the Court of Appeals and to hold that investigating whether Mr. Wright was a concealed carry weapon permit holder in the absence of reasonable suspicion detoured from the mission of the traffic stop for his defective headlight in violation of the Fourth Amendment. I think Mr. Perlman and I agree that officer safety matters. Where we diverge, in my opinion, is the way that Mr. Perlman thinks that the CCW question cannot be parceled out from the weapons question. The weapons question was allowed in State versus Floyd because it was clearly tied to officer safety.
And that's the case here as well, correct?
That's correct, for the weapons question.
So the only question is whether the officer could whether Mr. Wright had the permit, right?
Correct. Okay.
So let's can we start with section 175.60? And what I'm curious about is your take on an individual who has a concealed weapon to display their permit. Is that constitutional? Can the officer do that?
So I think that the statute deals with a licensee, a CCW licensee. It's not dealing with the authorization of an officer to ask the question. And I think you honed in on the area of lawful authority. Because the statute says that the officer is required to have lawful authority to make the inquiry. And I think in this particular situation, what we're dealing with is an officer acting in his lawful capacity does not actually have lawful authority because he's detoured from the mission of the traffic stop in asking the CCW question.
Let's take it outside of the context of a traffic stop. Let's just say Mr. Wright was walking down the street. And the officer saw a little flash of a gun concealed on Mr. Wright's person. Can the officer walk up to him and say, you know, I see that you are concealing a weapon. Could you please show me your concealed carry permit? Could the officer do that?
Recognizing that that is different from the facts of this case, I think that you still need to have reasonable suspicion that the person is violating the CCW laws in order to ask the question. So if the officer knows that that person is a felon, you know, in small towns, officers know who's who. If the officer knows that the person is a high school student and is under the age of 18, you know, those combination of things, I think that would be a situation where the officer could ask.
Is there any limitation of that nature?
The lawful authority, I think, is the limitation.
Okay, so you would read into the lawful authority provision that you need reasonable suspicion the person does not have a permit before you could ask the person.
I think that is a position I take, you know, for purposes of if this court would like us to brief Section 175 further to answer additional questions, I'd be happy to do so.
How is asking about a CCW permit in the context of a traffic stop different than the officer asking for the person's driver's license? The officer doesn't have to have reasonable suspicion that the person is driving without a driver's license, right?
That's correct. And asking about a driver's license is considered part of the ordinary inquiries that is part of every mission of a traffic stop. And the reason that the ordinary inquiries do not detour from the mission of the traffic stop is because the ordinary inquiries are tied to the same objective as the and so asking about a driver's license is making sure that the person is able to be driving the car safely and responsibly and has a license. Performing the registration and insurance checks does the same thing. I think if you look at Rodriguez, when they mention the warrant check, they cite to Professor Lefebvre, when you're performing a warrant check, that is checking to see whether this traffic violation. So those measures go toward enforcement of the traffic code in a way that I don't see how the CCW inquiry goes towards that same objective.
Well, when you look at the answers that Mr. Perlman had given,
I understand what you're saying in theory,
but if you become aware that the person has a concealed weapon at that point, oh, are you able to check? I understand that it's not furthering of the actual stop, but what are you supposed to do? I had given it the last question to Mr. Perlman. Are you supposed to wait until you're done with the traffic stop, then go plug it in your computer
and then go stop them immediately if they, in fact, don't have that permit once you check? I mean, how is the officer?
Once they become aware there is a concealed weapon
and there's been no permit produced,
what is the officer supposed to do?
So Mr. Perlman did argue this in his brief as well. He said illogical to forbid the police to check if a weapon is being lawfully carried if someone says, yes, I have a weapon. I think that answer, that terminology, to check if the weapon is being lawfully carried, that makes clear what the question is. It's a legality determination. I think if an officer asks the question, do you have a weapon? Like Justice Bradley said, the officer can then, like they did in Floyd, ask for permission to hang on to the weapon during the traffic stop. Then they can do the ordinary inquiries. And again,
if the person is under the age of 18,
then we're talking about someone who has no business having a weapon. If it's someone who is a felon, they shouldn't have a weapon either. And so that gives you reason. But without the reasonable suspicion, just asking the question is an investigation into legality, and it goes outside, it detours from the traffic stop.
Does the fact that they can't produce the permit give you the reasonable suspicion, potentially, as it did in this case? Because you should be able to produce a permit, correct?
That's if you're allowed to ask the question and have lawful authority.
So you're starting with you can't even ask the question. They see a concealed weapon in the car, and this is that situation. You're saying you can't even ask the initial question about whether they have the permit.
So in this situation, I think the record is a little more clear. The officer found out, or the officer's CCW question, I believe, did come first. Whether it was a compound question or two quick questions asked in rapid fire, my understanding was the officer asked the CCW question first. So that was, you know, not because he found out that someone had a weapon in the car and then went further. That was my understanding from.
So does that matter? Let's say that we. That appropriate?
I think either way, you're not allowed to ask the question without reasonable suspicion, as it's an investigation into a crime unrelated to a stop for a defective headlight. But I think the position of Mr. Wright's particular case, where the CCW question was posed first, helpful.
Is there any lawful way for the state to enforce the regulatory scheme of the CCW statute, absent reasonable suspicion that a person is carrying who is either underage or a felon?
I think that the inquiry does need to be tied to reasonable suspicion. I think if you go back to cases like Delaware versus Krause, which talk about not being able to just check regulations without any reason to. We have a CCW license. There's no automatic presumption of illegality. The fact of having a weapon alone is not a crime. In this particular case, as the officer, there's two officers approaching Mr. Wright. He's not making furtive movements. He's not acting overly nervous. He doesn't dip his body. He doesn't blade his body. He doesn't do any of those things. And so the fact of having a gun alone, the officer doesn't know. You know, there's just nothing to suggest that there is illegality. So then asking the question about the CCW permit is a fishing expedition. Are you allowed to have that permit? Is that legal? You're being stopped for a defective headlight, but let me go on this other tangent.
Does that depend on the presumption that whether a person has a weapon? And what I mean by that is this. Do we presume and our law says it is a unless you have a permit, or do we start with the proposition that it is lawful to carry a concealed weapon unless you don't have one? Does it matter which presumption we start with?
That's an interesting question that I haven't quite thought about before. I think where Wisconsin has authorized gun possession in certain circumstances, that there is not an automatic presumption of illegality. So I don't think that there, I think the second, your latter suggestion.
Counsel, in reading the Court of Appeals opinion, especially paragraph, the last penultimate paragraph, that is 15, does not seem to distinguish the question regarding do you have a gun and the CCW. Is the Court of Appeals paragraph infirm because of that lack of distinction?
I think that the CCW question is the problem in this case. I think under Floyd, the weapons question is okay. And what goes outside of the mission of the traffic stop in this case, because it's not related to the defective headlight, it's not an ordinary inquiry, it's not a safety precaution, is the CCW question and the permit check.
That's and what I understand your argument. That paragraph by the Court of Appeals to that extent.
Well, I think that this court does a de novo application of the constitutional principles. I think it should still affirm the decision to suppress the evidence because the CCW question and the permit check detoured from the mission of the stop. I don't think the weapons question is a problem under this court's decision in Floyd.
Even if it detoured from the mission of the stop, isn't the record here indicative of extension of the duration? And under Rodriguez, that's okay.
Well, Rodriguez says that an officer who performs his tasks expeditiously doesn't get to earn bonus time for additional investigation into undetected criminal wrongdoing, which I think is what we're talking about. You know, this is a detour into criminal wrongdoing. It's the legality determination. It's looking into whether the possession is lawful or unlawful. So that, Rodriguez says, is not okay. They said investigation into other crimes, detours from the mission of the traffic stop, and so too do safety precautions taken in order to facilitate such detours. So I don't think Rodriguez allows for that.
How about the Illinois case? Doesn't that allow for that?
So I think that Rodriguez makes clear that we're not talking about the amount of time. Even a de minimis stop is not okay if it violates the time needed to handle the matter for which the stop was made. Here, defective headlight. So you and the officer testified, I was only going to give a warning. I've never given a citation for a defective headlight. So the time needed to handle this stop is the time needed to deliver that warning and to do the ordinary inquiries.
The dissent in the Illinois case characterizes the majority as saying the court so rules, that is, the majority so rules, that holding that a dog sniff does not render a seizure that is reasonable in time unreasonable in scope. And so it seems to me that at least even if you're outside of the scope, even if arguably CCW is outside of the scope of the mission of the stop, that if it doesn't extend the duration, it's okay. That's the way I read the dissent characterizing the majority in the Illinois.
Would you repeat the last part you said?
Yes. Is that the way the majority, correct, in characterizing the majority as standing for that proposition? That proposition being that as long as it doesn't extend the duration, it's okay to extend the scope.
I don't think that, I think that that a de minimis stop is still not okay if it goes outside the bounds. I think that a traffic stop prolonged beyond the time needed to handle the stop is unlawful. And here we're talking about a CCW permit question. It's whether it adds time to the stop. That's what Rodriguez said. Whether conducting the sniff prolongs, i.e. adds time to the stop. Here the question added time to the stop, the CCW check.
Okay, what does the record reflect? How much time was added by asking the CCW check? How much time was added by doing a CCW check?
I don't know that the record reflects that, but it adds time because they were done. Those things were done. It doesn't matter where it comes in the stop. It matters that they happened and that they were investigatory.
So if it adds 48 seconds, then state loses. Any time?
I think that if it goes outside the bounds of the traffic mission and it's not a part of the ordinary inquiries and it's an on-scene investigation into other crimes, if it adds time, it's unlawful.
What if it doesn't add time? So after After the officer learned that Mr. Wright had a weapon, he had all the information he needed without asking about a CCW permit to find out whether or not he actually did have a permit, right? He could go back to his squad car and he could run the search and he'd find out without ever asking Mr. Wright, just running the search, he'd find out if he had a permit, right?
I don't think he could do the search, though.
Okay. Yeah, I should probably finish.
Okay.
Turn to the hypothetical here. All right. So let's say he goes back to the squad car, doing the normal inquiries. He's running a check on the registration of the car, checking on outstanding warrants and all of that. And he's sitting there and he's waiting for that result to come back. And while he's waiting, he says, you know, I know he has a gun. I wonder if he has a permit. And he does the search on that. So it doesn't actually extend, let's say, because he's waiting for the results on the other search, and it comes back that the guy doesn't have a permit. Has that unconstitutionally extended the stop?
I'm not sure the officer's technology allows two checks to be run at one time.
That's fair. Let's assume for a moment that he quit. Would that create an extension of the stop?
I think it still is a detour from the mission of the stop.
Because it exceeds the scope?
Because it exceeds the scope.
So the scope is really the defining criterion for you, correct? More than the time, which we often talk about being de minimis. We don't talk about the scope generally as being de minimis. Is that what you're saying?
The scope question comes from Terry, and I think that is why I'm fixated on that. Just going back to the origins of how we deal with situations like this.
Okay, thank you.
Let me just go back to this Illinois versus Caballet. It comes from Terry, and again, I lament because I'm sympathetic with the dissent here, but note that it is the dissent. And the dissent says, in my view, the majority diminishes the Fourth Amendment's force by abandoning the second Terry inquiry. Parentheses. Was the police action reasonably related in scope to the circumstances justifying the initial interference? It seems to me you're arguing the dissent in that case, in Illinois versus Caballos.
I'm not sure if I'm totally fresh on Caballos and the Caballos dissent.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm.
Thanks. My position comes from Rodriguez, which I do read to take scope into account. I look at 1616. Rodriguez, where they talk about on-scene investigation into other crimes detours from the mission. That goes to scope to me, because you're saying that that something is okay if it's reasonably related to the crime and so is part of the mission for the traffic stop, if it's an ordinary inquiry, or officers are also allowed, you know, they may need to take certain negligibly precautions in order to complete the mission safely. But Rodriguez even addresses that and talks about safety precautions, which are taken in order to facilitate a detour into unlawful criminal, into other crimes. And that's what I think got a defective headlamp, and the CCW falls into that category of being a fishing expedition for another crime.
So is your position that every traffic then tethered to the origination of the stop?
I think it needs to relate to the taillight, but then you can also do the ordinary inquiries, and then you can take safety precautions such as asking for weapons, ordering a person out of the car.
No matter what the officer sees?
Correct.
So if the officer sees a big bag of OxyContin on the front seat, or a child that looks like they're in deep distress, no questions can be asked.
Well, then you have reasonable suspicion to go into something else.
Okay, but you have a gun here. There's a gun, and we have a law that says. So you're saying the officer cannot inquire further at all?
Guns aren't automatically illegal.
No, and I understand the Constitution, and I get that. But there also is a law that says you can't. And we're dealing with officer safety at a traffic stop. Just take it out of that. Go back to my oxy on the front. That's not related to a taillight. So what do you do with that?
I think
it can be legally prescribed. Maybe not in a big, huge bag, but can be.
Not anymore.
Big, huge baggy does seem to be a problem. I think that an officer can ask questions about CCW.
Well, what's reasonable suspicion? I mean, I'm trying to get at what is reasonable suspicion carrying concealed illegally? There are people who illegally carry concealed. There are people who carry very legally, and that's absolutely correct. So how does an officer distinguish between the two?
I think you can think about other traffic stops, and if someone is making furtive movements as you're walking up to the car, if you start to have those building blocks like we have in other cases where someone's excessively nervous and they've admitted having a weapon, maybe you're in a situation then where you start to build reasonable suspicion that they should have a weapon. That's not what we have in this case.
Can you go back to my oxy? I just want you just have to stick to the taillight.
I'm not sure I know the answer to your question
enough.
Right now.
I don't want to push you further than you're comfortable.
So let's, could I pick up on that?
We just told her. We want to. Okay, he's the bully.
All right. So thank you. So let's start with this. We do have a. Right?
Yes.
Okay. And there's an exception to that. And the exception is, if you have a permit, then you can. So my question is along the lines of, what does it take reasonable suspicion for violation of that statute? All right. So he comes across a person, and he finds out that he has a concealed weapon. Well, he knows that there's a statute that says, thou shalt not carry. Does he have reasonable suspicion at that point to believe that he might be violating the law?
What would the reasonable suspicion be based on? It? I think if it's just on the observation of a gun, that alone doesn't tell the officer.
Well, so the statute says, the statute is phrased as a flat prohibition on the carrying of concealed and then it has an exception. So what I'm wondering is, can an officer have reasonable suspicion that you are carrying a concealed weapon in violation of the statute just by knowing that he is in fact, or before reasonable suspicion attaches, does he know that he does not have a permit? Because the statute doesn't say anything about furtive gestures or.
I'm not quite sure, Your Honor.
Counsel, an officer may ask about or check for warrants, right? That's constitutionally permissible. Isn't a CCW permit check akin to checking for warrants? Neither are tied to the exact direct mission of the stop, which I'd like.
I think that the warrant check is more closely tied to the traffic code enforcement. I think that's why I go back to Rodriguez when they define the ordinary inquiries and list what they are and explain why they're not outside the bounds of the mission of a traffic stop. And in Rodriguez, when they talk about the warrant check, they cite to Lefebvre, who says, a warrant check makes it possible to determine whether the apparent traffic violator is wanted for one or more previous traffic offenses. So I do think that the warrant check is tied to the enforcement of the traffic code in a way that I don't see that same connection for CCW check. I think that Officer Sardina's authority for Mr. Wright's seizure ended when the tasks tied to the defective headlight reasonably should have been completed. I think this court should affirm the lower court and hold that the CCW inquiry was not reasonably related to the basis for the stop, was not an ordinary inquiry, and was not a safety precaution. And I think that's all I have for you. Thank you.
Well, if I'm in a casino, what I want to do now is take the chips I've already won and put them aside. One of the reasons we're here was the Court of Appeals, as Justice Ann Bradley referred to, was saying that you can't ask about guns for reasonable suspicion. But it appears, at least between the parties, the council parties, we have an agreement that you can. We have the CCW permit. If Wright is correct that you can only ask about a permit if you have reasonable suspicion they do not have a permit, and you are kind of limiting it to like physical characteristics, or you happen to know they're a felon, or you know they're like 15 or 16 years of age, basically any adult, 20, 30, 40, without those characteristics can carry a concealed weapon with impunity and with no permit, because they'll never be asked about it. And to exclude the entire population of drivers from the statute says that if you're going to not have a permit, put it in your glove box, because even if the officer lawfully discovers it, as it was here and is now conceded because he was right to ask about a gun, you can't check on the permit status. I would submit that makes no sense. And there's no reason to make no sense when the intrusion is de minimis, and the constitutional problems to me are minuscule, and the benefit to see if they are fully compliant with Wisconsin's regulations to allow citizens the privilege of carrying concealed weapons.
Counsel, it seems to me you and opposing counsel differ on what is a dispositive criteria. You think it's de minimis time, you think the scope of the traffic stop in this question about a permit being beyond the scope. Why should we accept de minimis as the controlling factor time-wise rather than the scope?
Well, I would cite the majority of Illinois v. Cabayas, in which that case was decided on time. What happened in Cabayas was the officer, by fluke, was stopping somebody. Another officer heard on his radio, came with a dog, completely unrelated, but was able to do the dog sniff in the same time that the officer did, wildly off on scope, but right there on time, and the majority found that permissible. Also, again, I hearken to Arizona versus Johnson, our own case in Griffith, and again also in Floyd that talks about de minimis intrusion. But here I think we have both. We succeed not only on an intrusion, which I believe is de minimis. I also think scope, because it's connected to the gun, which was legitimate, all hands agree, with the scope of the stop. If it follows that in any traffic stop an officer can ask about a gun, it has to necessarily follow if the officer finds a gun concealed that he checked to see if it has a permit, because he's been exercising his lawful authority to ask about the gun, and he would be abandoning his statutory responsibility to see if that gun was properly permitted. So I think the state would succeed in the CCW on either scope or time.
Can you think of a group of facts under which someone would be arrested if counsel's right, without that being just sort of a tag-along to some other arrest for something else?
Yeah, it would be very difficult to arrest somebody for if you didn't check out one of the exceptions, which you can check out right there. And one of the exceptions is you have a permit. So if you can't check out the permit, you're kind of guessing on that CCW nature. So I find it difficult to figure it out. As you say, if it's a tag-along, you arrest it for something.
So the result would be either no one, virtually no one, unless you already know that person's under 18, no one could be stopped and asked, or conversely, everyone who's carrying would be arrested first and then be able to prove they have a license if the officer on scene can't just say, do you have a license for the gun you're carrying, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting, that converse was interesting, and at least at first blush, has some logic to it. Justice Kelly was kind of going with that when he was saying, which is it? So I would say the presumption is that in Wisconsin, you can only carry a concealed weapon if you're an A, if you're a B, or a C, and carrying the permit makes you a C. And so, yes, you're right. The net result is if you can't check, nobody gets it, or if you can't check, you're presuming they don't meet the exception, and that shows, in my view, the lack of sensibility in not making the check.
You wouldn't want everyone who legally carries...
Right, which is not something we would want to condone.
Thank you, counsel. Well, I want to thank you both for your last argument before this court, at least in your current position. Show up as private counsel at some point in time. And for your first argument, I think you had a worthy opponent this morning. Both of you did absolutely fine job. So thank you for very good. We are going to take a few minutes now of adjournment so that the next group of attorneys and another class can come in. Thank you.